Good to see everyone this morning, and as we continue our lessons in the Word of God, this morning we want to look at the idea of walking in the light. And it's important for us to recognize the Scriptures that talk about light and darkness. We think about our God in heaven being absolute, the beginning and the end. And he reminds us in many instances of the fact that he is the light. And it's interesting. You ever watch a movie and it's about life and death, and they always say, "Go to the light." You know, and I mean, even the world still recognizes the fact that light's important. And God is light. And we see many things in regards to that. And this morning we want to look a little bit concerning the light of God. In Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world," in the Lord. "Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And so we've been talking about walking with God and understanding the importance of unity in God's Word. That before the foundations of the world, God had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That we look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. We understand He came here for a purpose, manifested the love of God, that we might understand how much God does love us, and that we truly need to love God because He first loved us. And to understand that we must be new creatures, and I say creatures because we are created by God. He created all things in heaven and earth. To understand that, we've studied about that, and to understand the love of God. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about that. Last night we looked at some of those scriptures, and there we could cover a lot of things concerning that. And today, again, looking at the fact that we walk in the light of God and be children of light. That verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And it's rather specific in the Bible many times as to what God wants us to do and what He wants us to think about and what He's revealed to us, and that we might be the children that God wants, that He can look at us and call us His children, that we are sons of God, that we are His children. But we also notice in Romans 6 that not only are we children when we obey the gospel, adopted by God, but that we may truly be a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who was the only begotten Son of God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among men. We have an inheritance in Him. We become joint heirs in Jesus Christ. And that truly we are His children, but also His servants. And Jesus made reference to that a couple of times in His personal ministry on this earth about servants and about ones who were children, but yet at the same time being servants. And to recognize how important it is that we be children of light. In Romans 13, the Scriptures remind us of that, in verses 11 through 14, that we are to cast off darkness. We have a certain responsibility. If we want to walk with God, it has to begin with our attitude and desire that we do want to walk with God. The Bible talks about the need to believe God, and we must believe God. The Bible even starts out that way. It just takes for granted that people would believe God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Nothing else. Nothing to explain that. It's just a fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, we must believe God. And of course, if we believe God, then we need to believe what He has told us about Himself. I had a fellow one time that obeyed the gospel, but I studied with him. He was a pretty smart individual. When you look at human standards, he was smart. He may be working for the government now. He spoke different languages and things like that. But he, in the course of his study and so forth, he got to the point where he couldn't see what the Bible said about God being one. He couldn't see a lot of things. And he said that when I'd read a scripture to him about what God said about Himself, he said, I really couldn't do it that way because that was called tautology. In other words, there isn't any credibility in the Bible because the Bible speaks of itself. And when you narrow that down, you know, well, who can teach you anything? And God teaches us. But yet, according to His thinking, I couldn't accept that because God's telling me about Himself. And I would have to have some kind of outside source. And that's what gets people in trouble, is when we look at outside sources. When we want to find light somewhere else. And we need to go to the light. We need to go to the source. God is the beginning. And God is the end. He's eternal. We can't fathom that. You know, we used to draw lines on a blackboard, whiteboard, with a dash here and a dash here, and talk about eternity. But see, that was even wrong because you still had a beginning and an end. And eternal, it doesn't. God said He's the beginning and the end. So people came up with that infinity thing, you know, the sideways eight, flat, squishy thing. And the thing is, it's hard for us human beings to comprehend that because we work on a time. We work on sun up, sun down, hours, minutes, whatever it may be. But God's eternal. God's already 1,000 years from now, if 1,000 years is going to be here. He's in the past. He's in the present. It's hard for us to comprehend how God operates. I sometimes illustrate it like this to shed light on things. It's a human being standing on a mountaintop, and there's a river running down here. And I can look in the past. I can see the river here. I see some fellows getting in a kayak or something over here. Yeah, but I can also look over here and see the end of that journey. And I can look here in the middle of the journey. These fellows getting in the boat, all they can see is the front of their boat, about 100 yards in front of them. But I'm already over here. I know what's going on. I can see the obstacles. I can see things. And a lot of people don't think God's in control of anything. God tells us, and teaches us His divine care and providence. Sometimes we need light shed on some things. Don't think God can do that. When God says to pray for the kings, people in government, what's God going to do? Just listen to us and just not do anything? Not work in history? God is history. And to understand that God works His will in us. Philippians chapter 2 says that. But God is already into tomorrow. He sees the past. You know, we're right here. And to understand the way God communicates to us, He wants us to prepare for the future. He wants us to get ready right now. But in this whole journey, we need to walk with Him. We need to follow that standard. We need to listen to God. We need to understand that it takes a new kind of thinking to be God-like and to be acceptable to God. And that's what we've been talking about, walking with God, in unity with God, being one with God as a new man. And truly in love, because God is love. And then in the light. that we are supposed to be children of light. Romans 13, 11 through 14, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And again, this reminds us of the fact, how can our salvation be near? I thought I was saved already. Because you read Scripture that says baptism does now save us. Peter said to those people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, save yourself from this wicked generation. And to understand what our responsibility is, to look to God, to desire to be in God, to desire Him. But we've got to believe Him. And to hunger and thirst after righteousness, God promises that you will be filled. I always ask people, what are they looking for? Visit a church somewhere? The first thing I want to know is, what are you looking for? I'm not trying to be rude to them or anything. I just want to cut to the chase. I just want to avoid a lot of hem-hawing and looking around and circling the camp and all that kind of thing. I just want to know, what are you looking for? Because it makes it much easier. If they're looking for the truth, they'll find it. If they're looking for social things, I have to warn them. It's not going to happen. Now, there are social activities that we have outside of our meeting and assembly as a church in the name of Christ. We understand our responsibility for the things that we do. And we're to walk in the light and understand what light that is. There's a lot of issues, a lot of things to look at. But our salvation is nearer than it was at the beginning. Almost missed that point, right? I'm sorry, I go off in my conversation with people. But the fact is, it's a continual process, this being saved business. Okay? I didn't do something yesterday that's going to guarantee my salvation. Now, yesterday, when I was walking in the light, there was guarantee already there. If I'm in Christ, I can't be denied my salvation. And some people twist and pervert that all around to say, oh, once saved, always saved. No, that's not what I said. If you're in Christ, Christ cannot deny Himself. God guarantees that. So that behooves me to think and to always focus on the fact, where am I walking? And what path am I walking in? Am I in the light? Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us concerning the fact that we cast off darkness. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12 of Romans 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And these are key words. These are key statements. These are key commands from God. Be careful. Understand this fleshly body that you're in. Peter called it a tabernacle, a tent. It's what we're housed in. God put us in this flesh. He knows what we're up against. He knows what we've got to think. And He knows so much because of the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men and was tempted just as we are. He didn't pretend to be tempted and then because He was God, He said, oh, well, that's not going to bother me any. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ humbled Himself, became lower than the angel, fashioned Himself as a man. And He was tempted just like I'm tempted every day. He was tempted just like you're tempted every day. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe God. And it's not a fact that God pretended to be sympathetic. He has empathy. You take the eternal God, Christ, created us all, was eternal. Nothing having to do with the flesh was ever in God. Can you comprehend that? He created us, but nothing in the flesh was ever in God. Because, see, God tells us the flesh cannot understand God, won't understand His Word, and will not obey God. The flesh will not obey God. Now, some people twist and pervert that and get in all these false doctrines about the fact that you can't help it because you're humans. The Gnostics said, well, if my mind's thinking on Christ, that's all that counts. It doesn't matter what the body does, if it's fulfilling its lusts and so forth. But the Bible says, doesn't work that way. You cannot surrender to the lusts and the passions of the flesh. Well, I'm not strong enough to do that. No, you're not. You cannot do it yourself. That's why God sent His Son here to show us that if we are determined to do the Father's will and to love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, we will conquer. We will subdue. We will submit to our Father, the power of all things. It's interesting, Jesus Christ in His life and how many times He referenced the point that He was going to sit on the right hand of power. And Romans 1, verse 3, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ declares that He is the Son of God with power. Okay. And to understand that when we look to Christ, cast off darkness. Cast it off. I can't do it myself. That's why God says He'll help me do it. But I have to want to. So like we tell people, believe God, confess Jesus, Son of God, repent. What's repentance? It's changing your will. What is your will? You should will to serve God. Your integrity, your volition, your honesty, your intellect. The things that motivate you. What are you looking for? The truth, the love of God. What are you looking for? To satisfy the lust of the flesh? And we need to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God and love God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. Again, we are reminded of the fact that we are sons of light. There's a lot of scriptures all through the Bible that remind us. It's interesting, God talks to different people different ways. He uses different words, but He paints the same picture. I often illustrate our mind as like a canvas, an artist's canvas. And it should be just without prejudice. It should be clean. And then let God paint words. The words paint pictures. And that we think on those things from above. And that we see what God has designed. We see what God helps us with. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. It's interesting. He looked at these people, these Christians. Writes these letters, reminds them, brethren, you are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And these are specific admonitions, exhortations, statements, commands, however you want to look at it. We as children of God are not in darkness. We must be in the light. And to recognize that, children of light. Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Again, we are reminded about the fruit of the Spirit. Notice that. But the fruit of the Spirit. See, a lot of people get caught up in the idea that there's fruits of the Spirit. No. the fruit of the Spirit. It's not different things hanging on a tree. It's all one. Now, how can that be? Because he gives us a list here, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. We want that hanging here. Joy, we want that hanging over here. Peace, we want that hanging over here. Long-suffering, that's hanging over here. Kindness over here, goodness here, faithfulness here. And we pick it off the tree. I'll work on love today. I'll eat this goodness today. I'll digest that part of it. No, it's one fruit. It's all the same thing. It's all knit together. And the thing about God's creation, you know, a lot of people that have a lot of different ideas about who God is and what God is and nature and all that. They talk about being one with the universe. Well, they got part of it, right? You do need to be one with everything. One with God, who is everything. And to understand how the fruit of the Spirit is all the same thing. In other words, you can't just eat goodness and digest that without having all this other to think about and manifest in your life. And to recognize that we're children of the light. And you'll notice when it talks about the flesh, it's always plural. It's always plural. Because there are different things that the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Up there in verse 19, it says the works of the flesh, always plural, right? You know, every time you talk about God, you're always talking in singularity. You ever notice that? But when you're talking about everything else, it's always plural. You know, we abide in the doctrine of Christ. That's singular. But the doctrines of the devil, plural. The doctrines of men, plural. But we've already talked about that, right? In Ephesians 4, one faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. There's one light. The pure light. And that we are supposed to walk with God. If we walk with God, we need to be in Christ. That's why we talk about the fact that people need to be in Christ. And baptism puts you in Christ. And that we continue to be in Christ by practicing the righteousness of God, which is revealed in the gospel, Romans 1:17, that we might be acceptable to God. And we'll talk about that. This all having to do with walking in the light, in being God's. Verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, we have to have this mindset. What are you looking for? Well, need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? Want to know what the true God wants me to do? After all, He made me. What am I? Why was I born? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? And what's going to happen after? Where am I going to go? And God tells us about that. But to understand what we need to believe and to have the attitude is, what am I looking for? Well, I need to find out what is acceptable. And most people already have in their mind what's acceptable to God and what makes God accept that. And the trouble with that is that the perception that people have of God is the fact that God thinks like they do. And that's not true, can never be true. We must think like God. And the only way we can do that is that we surrender to Him and let Him work His will in us. Think on those things from above. Surrender to Him. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, But now much more in my absence work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, we're servants of God, and what are we supposed to do? Whatever is good for Him. Whatever is good and pleasurable to our Creator. That's it. No questions about it. James 4 tells us don't judge the law because you can't do it. You don't have the wisdom, the rationale, the knowledge. You don't have anything to be able to look at God's law and say, oh yeah, this is good or this is bad. You have to understand something, as Jesus pointed out, is that there's none good but the Father in heaven. And when He tells us to practice goodness, the only way that's ever going to happen is if we're listening to God, the one good. And to understand what that means. When Jesus said to His disciples, He said, I'm going to go to my God and your God. It's interesting. What? Isn't He everybody's God? My God and your God. See, it's wonderful if my God is the same God as your God. It would be in unity, right? And this is what we have to understand about the divine nature and being one with Christ. But that, find out what's acceptable. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. I'll read them from the New King James Version. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And most people think that means you got to know how many books is in the Old Testament and how many books is in the New Testament and rightly divide that, you know. No, it's one book. You know, people want to pick out one scripture to teach everything about God. And all the other scriptures are teaching something else that we don't have to pay attention to or whatever. It's all one. It's all together. Jesus goes to John, the immerser, the one pointing the way, his cousin, but 6 months older than Jesus Christ. Jesus shows up and says, I'm here to be baptized. And John looks at him, says, you don't need to be baptized. And Jesus said, doesn't matter what you think. I'm paraphrasing that part, because you really can't read that. But he says, I'm here to fulfill the righteousness of God. That was all that was on Jesus Christ's mind. Not the sorting over the ideas that, well, do I really need to be baptized? Do I really need this? It didn't matter whether he needed it or not, or whether it fit his logic or rationale or anything. He wanted to fulfill the righteousness of God. That's what motivated Christ Jesus. Father, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you're going to do. I serve you, Father. This is what I'm going to do. Wasn't easy, as we see, but the fact is, he walked with God. He was in unity with God, one with God, the Father. He talked about that in his prayer that was recorded for us in John chapter 17. And he was a new man. You think about that. A new man. He was a man, but he was new. You get that? When he walked around, it was new to people. Because he did things that humans don't normally do. And what was their problem? They weren't surrendering to God. The reason he could love and have compassion like he did is because he wanted to do the Father's will. God manifest his love for us in sending his Son. And Jesus surrendered to the Father's will. He looked at people. He had compassion on them. There were times he didn't talk to people. There were times people were begging to just ask him a question and talk with him and things, and he just ignored them. And he spoke parables. You know, those earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And what do you notice about his disciples? A disciple is a follower, learner, and imitator. And who did he teach? He taught people that said, Master, teacher. What does that mean? I know you gave us a good lesson about farming, but what are you really trying to get at? They hungered and thirsted after righteousness. And he told them. And there's nothing hidden that hasn't been revealed by the apostles. I read a scripture from Peter the other night about all things that pertain to life and godliness. You got to find out what's acceptable to God. Not your next door neighbor, not the person sitting next to you. What's acceptable to God? This is it. Acceptable to God. In Acts chapter 10, we see the fact that Peter recognized something. He said, verse 35, "But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." Work righteousness. Can't work our way to heaven and earn it. But yet the Bible says work righteousness. Work the works of God. Let God work His will in you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." These are the same people that you read about in Acts 19 who surrendered to obedience to God in Christ Jesus when they were baptized in the name of Christ. Although they were baptized by John for repentance and remission of sin. They didn't argue about it. They didn't say, well, John's baptism is just as good as Jesus, right? No, it's not, because it was different authority. But that's another lesson. But just think on it. Just a little note. In verse 9, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just filled with all kinds of contradiction, right? Well, no. The Bible doesn't contradict itself, but there are apparent contradictions. So you've got to comprehend what God's telling you. You can understand the Scriptures if you read them, but there's another part of this whole thing, and that's comprehension. It's putting it together is what he's talking about. You can understand this fact and this fact over here, but you got to see how they come together. It's like a puzzle. You don't want to make a picture, put the pieces of puzzles together. If you're missing a piece, you think you know what the picture is, but you just got to find that piece before it can be complete, right? And some people maybe cut out their own piece. If they can't find the one that fits in there, cut it out in the same shape, stick it in there with the lines on it or the color that they think matches the other ones around it. You know, accessorize it a little bit. You know. But God wants us to understand who we are. Walk with Him. Walk in the light. Find out what's acceptable to God. That's what it's all about. I read Hebrews 4 last night. I'll read it again today. Probably read it some more today. But verses 1 through 6. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. How do you become unacceptable to God? Just disobey him. That's all you got to do. And people write books about obedience to God and about working righteousness and about this and that, when there's already been a book written that we should pay attention to and recognize. How much do you believe God? The word was of no profit to them because they did not mix it with faith. They did not have confidence and trust in this word that was revealed to them, which came from the God that they did not have confidence and trust in because they did not believe him, because they didn't obey him. And, you know, we want to sort that sentence around and put the causation and the result and all that, but it's all together. You have one of those, you're going to have all of them. That's what it is. Walk in the light, and what's going to happen? Listen to the light. The Bible tells us as children of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. It's simple. That's why we must practice righteousness. So we can be in the light. So we're walking with God. And in spite of how weak I am or what I don't know, God will see to it that I will find it. But I must desire to find out what's acceptable to God. If I don't hunger and thirst after it, I will not be filled. You ever wonder why? You know, you study the Bible for 10 years and it doesn't seem like there's any difference in 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You see why? You got to think on those things. You got to pray to God. You know, here's the thing that Jesus taught his disciples. They came to him and said, Jesus, Master, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. You teach us to pray. Wasn't anything about teach us how to do this evangelism. Teach us how to do this worship. Teach us how to do this and that. Teach me to pray. I tell you, if you talk to God, you counsel with God, His will be worked in you, because you won't be able to help it. You will just be an instrument of righteousness that God's using, and you let Him work His will in you. You won't have to think about it because it'll be in you. See? You won't have to work at it and get all stressed up about, oh, what do I need to do right now? How do I need to think right now? No. It should come as your practice, your custom, your nature, if you're in Christ, walking with Him in the light. How much do you believe God when He says what He says? Verses 11 through 14 in the Ephesian letter. How much do I have? 5 minutes? Okay. So write it down. If I don't get to it, these PowerPoints will be on your computer sometime if you want to get somebody to print them off or whatever. Look at those scriptures, study them. Because, you know, you can't just hear it once. It always helps to write it down while you're hearing it. You remember it more. That's scientific stuff, you know, and all that. But the thing is, you know, think on it. Give thoughtful consideration to it. Shows the way. Verses 11 through 14, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Jesus, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you'll find out as you read the scriptures, you can't separate light from life with Jesus Christ. You just can't do it. And to understand, how do I walk with God? In the way. You know, they called it the way. Paul preached the way. You know, the way, the conduct of life. It's all there. John 1:3-5. The life is the light of men. I think that's what that says. Read that. If we don't... In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness did not comprehend it. I mentioned something about comprehending things. You need light on the subject, right? Give me some light on the subject. Well, there you go. God will give it to you. He'll shine it on you all day if you want Him to. And that truly we not walk in darkness, but in Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, watch and be sober. Sober. Just think right. Don't let anything clutter up your thinking. Don't get distracted. There's a lot of liquids out there and solid things, drugs, whatever it is that'll distract you. You know, you don't even have to drink and take pills to be distracted. Just depends on what you're looking for. Depends on what you're trying to be, you know, find acceptable. You know, the world's always telling you, you got to do this to be acceptable. You got to do that. Your peers are telling you, do this, do that. Just listen to God. Here's what makes us acceptable to Him. All the other things will be taken care of. Romans 6:1-6, we've already read that, but read it again because it's important to be arise from the dead and walk in newness of life, and the life and the light of men are Christ, His Word, the Word, and not abide in darkness. John 12:46. Light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because light exposes their deeds. If you're outside the body of Christ, you know, we'll give people opportunities to obey the gospel. But think on these things, and that we might be children of light, that we might walk with God in the light.